Hello, and welcome back to the Brew Theology Podcast and part two of our discussion with Tige Tyler, Who You Walking With. Today, we'll talk more about his story and we'll look at the big event that they hold in December. If you have questions about Brew Theology, you can find us at brewtheology.org. You can find us at brew_theology on X and at Brew Theology on Instagram and Twitter. We wanted to let you know that we do have three new chapters, two in Atlanta, one in Texas, and so you can find information about those on our website. Look around and see if they are near you, and we're happy to connect you if you would like. We also wanted to let you know about our live podcast event in Denver that'll be next Thursday at Grandma's House Brewing. You can find us on Meetup and sign up there. Please let us know if you're coming. We want to make sure we have enough goodies for everybody. And then also, if you are in the Denver area or want to travel to Denver, Thomas J. Ord and Trip Fuller will be hosting the Persuade Preaching Conference and God After Deconstruction. Both of these conferences will be centered around open and relational theology and how we can apply that to our context and to our lives. They'll be here in Denver, April 11 through 13. Sorry for the long intro. I just wanted to keep you up to date. And let's get back into our discussion with Tige Tyler.
You know, people are always inspired and possibly moved and changed practically by stories. You can speak to the head statistically and we've graphs and whatnot, but a story motivates people. What are some of your favorite ministry stories? And I know you're like, oh, I could talk for hours. If you have a top two, you're like, I got to share this story. What are some of those stories that you'd love for people to hear?
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I am a storyteller. I'm sorry. I'm a talker too. In less than two weeks, on December 2nd, we're coming up on something called Santa in the Park. We're going to give away 1,000 brand new pairs of kicks that day. And there are a bunch of other nonprofits coming alongside of us, but Holy Kicks is really the founder and the host of this. And we're actually sponsored by Aurora PD, the most hated police department in America. Holy Kicks gives everybody a break. We think everybody's got worth and we all have things we can do better. And as we come up on our fourth annual and 1,000 people will come and we'll turn lots of people away and we'll have lots of volunteers there. It'll be a really cool day of community. This was started 4 years ago from a street buddy of mine named Sonny, one of the best friends I've ever had. He's lived on the block most of his life for about 20 years. He left his home when he was in high school because his mom raised foster kids and he couldn't take it. So he hit the street and he lived a hard, curious life on the block. Sonny was kind of my right-hand guy and we'd drive around and listen to music together and he'd school me on race and things I needed to know. And I learned about the street from him and in Aurora and cultures that were not mine. And he said to me, I'm with another buddy of ours in the back, and he'd probably been drinking a little bit. But he said to me, he goes, hey, man, I just bought a Santa suit at the Ark, which is a retail used clothing store. He says, we're going to the park and giving away shoes at Christmas. And I was like, that's a terrible idea. We're going to get it handed to us. He says, no, man, we're going. And I thought, there's no way. 3 years ago, we had the capacity to bring a couple hundred pairs of shoes to the park. And we gave away 300 pairs of shoes in 18 degree weather. And Santa that day was a black Santa in the park that people had never seen much of around here. And just loving our kids. And we had COVID mask on and we put up two flyers. And Sonny, he was living in a motel at the time. He got some housing with his girl. And he didn't make it to another Christmas. He died the next Halloween at 39 years old. And he was the most loved street friend I've ever had. And I've known hundreds. He made me different than I was because he taught me about things that I didn't know about. And I thought Sonny had a terrible idea because he's a good street leader, but you know, this is my business and I'm the entrepreneur and I'm the guy with Holy Kicks, right? Like Sonny, he used to always say to me, you need a color ass. He used to tell me that all the time. And I'm like, hey, dude, what are you doing? He's, you need my BS. And I did. And he changed what we did. And we're going to be at the park this year with 1,000 pairs of shoes because Sonny saw a Santa suit at the Ark. And he's, man, we give away shoes. Sonny never raised a pair of kicks or a dollar or knew the hustle of the administration and all the nonsense I jumped through to make this happen. He just knew that we brought joy to the community and amazing things will happen in that park. You know, we get cops out where the community says, man, Aurora cops are not all evil, right? And folks will come from every culture, join together in park at Christmas time. And we'll have my buddy Gregory, who will be our Santa for our third year with us. And, you know, there'd just be some things that happened there, all because of a guy that the world said he didn't fit in. His family had given up on him for a lot of good reasons. And this is, Sonny did this, you know? A guy had never graduated from high school and he was drunk most days. And that's all on him. And that's what Holy Kicks is all about. And I always hashtag worth it and you matter. And, you know, in the moment, if we just say yes to people's crazy ideas and if they are willing to do a little work, and but if we walk with them to let them do it, I mean, I did that to support Sonny, not him supporting me. It was a pain in the arse, you know, and now it's a massive victory. What's going to happen for me? I think that's really what my faith looks like. Things like this now.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, 1,000 pair of shoes in one day. What does that feel like for you when you're in that moment, you're walking through that day? What's going on inside? What's it mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's that place of just saying yes to what could be. And I'm just moving beyond your fears a little bit. Like, I remember when we got to shoe number 1,000, that'll put us well over 16,000 that day. You know, that's going to move us to 16,500 that day. And I just track the number. I just always say the numbers because it tracks me to say, man, this is what we're doing. But those, every one of those numbers is a life. And I remember a little more than 3 years ago, we got to shoe number 1,000. And it was to a kid whose mom had overdosed and his grandmother was raising them just a few blocks from my old house, literally about 2 blocks off of Colfax in North Aurora. And I remember telling this kid whose mom was dead and his grandmother, you know, she didn't have the ability to raise these kids, these poor kids. And she just needed a break. And I don't know how she found us, but I went to the home to bring him some shoes, a special delivery. And I remember telling the kid, like, this is shoe, you got shoe number 1,000. I thought, I couldn't believe that we had done that because that was so many lives and so many people that had said yes to us. People, you know, go to work at for the Department of Defense and throw us money at the end of the day that they could have spent for vacation or groceries. They sacrifice for us, right? And that kid got a pair of shoes and I thought, oh man, I can't believe 1,000 pairs. And now like we'll do 1,000 in a day. And it's just, for me, it's just such a joy that what we're doing is so needed in the community. Like we don't give away Jordans, but nobody's foot's ever been in our shoes. And so people to get a brand new pair of shoes, so often people come and say, your shoes are so nice. Well, they're not really nice. They're not super high end. You know, we've got Pumas, but they're like low end Pumas price wise, right? We got Fila's and DC's and some knockoff brands, but there's a joy of receiving a brand new pair of kicks and you pick them yourself. We never say, here's the shoes for you. We say, hey, pick whichever one you want, man, try them on. And that's just a sense of yes for the community. I mean, it's literally, it's so many people from the community that have made it happen. I'm just doing the things to keep the, you know, I'm just trying to drive the bus and be the mechanic and get people on there, you know, to make it happen.
That's cool. Well, I wanted to ask, I know things are hard right now. I know in Denver, we have a lot of refugees and immigrants showing up. People are on the edge of or experiencing homelessness. What do we need to know about homelessness? If you were going to share a couple pieces of information with our listeners on how they can be involved or what's important to know or break apart a stereotype, I want to just give you a chance to speak to that.
Thanks, Janelle. Yeah, I think the first thing to break any stereotype is to just not use they language. If you've met one person who's homeless, you've actually met one person who's homeless. So everyone's story is unique. And so people can see a camp set up with, let's say, 30, 50 tents on a street maybe. And they're like, oh my gosh, look at those guys. But It's like if everyone to come to my block and look at my neighborhood and be like, oh, hey, look at, you know, Olive Street. Look at those people. Like, oh, that's, they're all unique. I'm like, my story's way different than my neighbors. You know, I live next to folks who grew up Hare Krishna. that's a little different than Steamboat Missouri Synod Lutherans. So, you know, how do we address people for their situation? And just because somebody's got a tarp and they've got way more stuff than we think they should have on the street. And if you, you know, if you took time to crawl inside that tent and sit with that person, you'd find out there's a reason they're there and they've got a unique story behind them. And it might be one that's super frustrating to you and you may not understand. But if we small it down enough to say, what do you need? And what's going on with you? What do you want for yourself? That's a great start. And in Denver, we've got, you know, the city saying, this is our decision. They were going to get 1,000 people housed this year and they only got a couple hundred. And they're like, you know, wah, wah, wah. Like, why did it not happen? We're going to get them housed. Not, hey, Bill, what's your story, man? Would you be able to stay clean if we got you in a place where you had to be clean every day, you know? And Bob would probably say, nah, not a possibility. Well, what could you do to help me? You know, like, can you house me in a place where I can get high every day and not be on the street? Yeah, that might be a better option. You know, we're always trying to fix people's problems. And you say, if you get your act together, then we'll take care of you. And for me, that's just in my theology. I mean, it's just not the Jesus way. Hey, how do I take you with all your things going on? And what do you need right now? You know, every time I pick somebody up in my truck or haul somebody, I'm not like, hey, get your life together and I'll give you a ride. I'm like, hey, if you're traveling, where do you need to go? And on the way, maybe we can talk about what's going on with you and what the next steps might be that you want, that we can get you in touch with the right people. And so I think for homelessness, it's, you know, there's lots of ways to help and do things and we can go feed people and volunteer. And those are great ways to just ease the pain of the day. But ultimately, it's the journey. And you know, it's just like my partner and I, you know, we can eat dinner together and we can be like, oh my gosh, we just had a great meal and I got fire going on my new stove. But ultimately it's the conversation and the life that we're living that's most important. The meal is just a thing. The warmth of our house, the heat that runs is just a thing. It's how we're loving each other and treating one another that's going to make our life sustainable with all the other bad choices that each of us might make in the world. And I think that's that way with folks that are experiencing homelessness or poverty. How do we not lump them into one big bit of chaos, but address the personal situation, and especially with immigration, we're just trying to deal like, hey, everybody's here from Venezuela. What are we going to do? And then slow it down. Let's get to know these folks a little bit and say, what are you doing versus trying to just make massive services to just get you over the hump? And then find out what, you know, I always say with homelessness, we could get everybody housed today, but the trauma from 20 years ago is going to land you on the block the next day because the trauma of your life, of whatever it is, going to cause something to break down in your life that will mean you're going to end up, you're one step or one moment away from being on the street or worse.
Tig, these are practical wisdom is what we're hearing right now. And I know that so many people out there feel overwhelmed with like the problems of the world, the weight of the world, whether we're talking geopolitics outside of the U.S., but then also on your own streets, much less in people's own homes and in their extended families. What would be some last bit of wisdom that you would give to people who are feeling overwhelmed with the burden of the world? What practical advice would you give them?
You know, I mean, my theology, which is really knocked out, I'm lucky I've never been officially kicked out of the church, but what I believe is all Jesus did was walk around, see stuff and do something about it. And that I think is a wonderful kind of missional way to live, that there are whole systems and problems in the world like that you may want to solve, you can't get your head around. But I'm always like, what can you touch that's right next to you? And what's the impact you can make, you know, right there? I'm like, you know, I'll be bold enough. You ain't giving away 16,000 pairs of shoes. It's too hard. Don't try to do that, right? But you might know of a kid on your kid's team that a new pair of kicks might be helpful to you. That you could ask that parent to say, hey, if I got you a gift card to such and such, would that be, you know, helpful to you? Or mail it to them anonymously, or you could do whatever you want. What can you do that's upside down in the world, right? You might not be able to clean up all the ocean's garbage. I don't even keep my head around that, but you could decide what garbage you want to clean up that you walk over, right? Start small, start now. And I think when I think about the impact we want to make, you know, it's consistent rhythms too. You just press into some place and learn the rhythms of people who are doing it in a good way. If you want to solve a world hunger, you know, just start by find somebody who's good at feeding somebody and learn from them. Like, how do you feed anybody? You know, come alongside of people. And if you've got a skill set, if you think what you do is special and beautiful in the world, get a couple folks who find curiosity in what you're doing and say, hey, I could use a teammate to do this and grow from them. You know, a lot of what I'm able to do now is because Sonny schooled me on some street stuff that I didn't know about. Right. And so we just pick up these little pieces and we get bigger as we go along, and hearts get bigger and our skill set gets bigger. And it just, you just can't do it all. I always see these nonprofits that are like addressing all the wonderful matters of the world, but it always seems like the successful ones are folks like, hey, we just give away diapers. Whoa, that's cool. Just do what you can, but do something, you know, because you'll go nuts. Just there's no need to put your head in the sand and no need to throw your hands up. Do what you can and do it beautifully.
You just dropped a lot of knowledge there on us. Mm. I think sometimes coming from our structured systems of churches and the way we did missions and all of that, it can feel impossible to start something new. And I think what you've highlighted here is really helpful. Start with what's right in front of you, what's right next to you. I love that. So thank you for that. Go ahead and give us a little bit of a marketing spiel here. How do we find you? How can people donate if they want to support you? How can we help?
Well, you can always find us on our website, holykicks.org, W-H-O-L-L-Y, because we believe everybody's a whole person. It's got a little other meaning, but we really believe everybody's a whole person. That's number one. So always, we're always looking for a little sponsorship. It's cool. I sent a note to somebody the other day. They're a $10 a month giver, which doesn't seem like much. That really doesn't quite get us a pair of kicks. We buy at about a $15 price point. That person just passed $500 in giving. Isn't that cool? Yeah. 50 months they've given to us right from the start, and they just passed $500. They can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. I do a little LinkedIn. It's a great way to support. And one of the things we've really been looking to, honestly, I'm always making my pitch, like my board's a bit corporate oriented right now. They didn't quite... we had some hope to maybe go after some big corporate funds that didn't quite work out for us due to some things. But I'm really looking for one or two people with some nonprofit chops to come on our board and help out my corporate guys a little bit. That's a place of interest. If somebody is looking just to help with some leadership, those are places that we're open to. If people live locally, they can always hit me up, come out and volunteer an event, literally get down on their knees and put some kicks on somebody, help somebody choose. And we always have events at our storage. And if anybody wants to search on Amazon or something like that, or go to Kohl's.com and send us a pair of kicks, our hands are always open. We make a difference because of generosity of folks.
Thank you, Todd, for your time. And again, that is Holy, W-H-O-L-Y kicks. And well, we'll put a note there on the show and we'll send that out to everybody. So if you want to find us, obviously we're Brew Theology, Brew_Theology on the X, formerly Twitter. And yeah, this was great. Cheers, Prost, salute, all those good things.
Cheers.